From the City of Angels, near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, Ancient Giants. Here's what's happening. The name of a person of interest in that Las Vegas mass shooting investigation has been identified from search warrant records. According to the Las Vegas Review-Journal, the newspaper there identified the person of interest as Douglas Haig. When contacted by Newsweek in October, the 55-year-old Haig of Arizona said he was an aerospace engineer who used to sell ammunition reloading components. He also said that he had no link to the killer, Stephen Paddock, adding, "I don't even know who this guy was." Paddock opened fire on an outdoor country music concert below the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino on October 1st, the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. The head of Hawaii's Emergency Management Agency has called it quits. He's resigned, and the employee who issued a ballistic missile alert to residents, causing mass panic for nearly 40 minutes earlier this month, has now been terminated. It was reported earlier that the employee intentionally sent the message, thinking the island was being attacked. The FCC said in a stunning reversal after officials had investigated and insisted that the alert was the result of a mistaken keystroke, not the case. China and Russia apparently developing anti-satellite missiles and other weapons that will soon be capable of damaging or destroying all U.S. satellites in low Earth orbit, according to the Pentagon's joint staff. That's not good. North Korea is stepping up its execution of top political officers there to prevent the regime from deteriorating under immense pressure caused by international sanctions. According to a U.S. general, after recent reports suggested that a key member of Kim Jong-un's inner circle was reportedly executed by a death squad. President Donald Trump appealed for common ground in the immigration debate at his first State of the Union address Tuesday night, while holding firm on his demands for border security and using the grand setting to tout his economic accomplishments and declare a new American movement. We'll have more on that a little bit later on. Dr. John Curtis, let's check in with him, onlinecolumnist.com, for a round robin of the world events. John, the forum is all yours.
Well, George, I mean, you know, no one can detract, you know, from the form of the speech. I think it was a brilliantly delivered State of the Union speech. I think he covered all the bases that possibly could be covered in a methodical way. I think what stands out, I think, to anybody watching this thing is the absolute dysfunctional, divided, I mean, polarized government that we have right now. It couldn't be worse. I mean, the Democrats with their hands folded and their sour faces during just about every part of that speech. I mean, despite, you know, the many illustrations, you know, the testimonials that he brought with him of people making incredible sacrifice. I think particularly the North Korean who had his legs amputated basically, but managed to escape freedom, you know, with his crutches, holding those crutches up, a very powerful moment in the speech. But I also think that, you know, the collision course is on now for February 8th. A lot of, you know, backroom wheeling and dealing is going to have to happen, because essentially there's a couple things that stood out in the speech. One is that Trump is offering an olive branch to the dreamers, you know, the DACA folks that he claims is about 1.8 million of them, not 700,000. But only with a quid pro quo of a $25 billion infusion for his border wall. Now, that was, that's really dismissed by Democrats. And I don't know if, you know, I mean, this may be the end of Chuck Schumer if he goes along with this, but I think the hard left is really running the party right now. The other hint, I think, that people need to look at is when he talked about Joseph Wambier, who was basically tortured. This is the Korean student,
yes,
who went on a tour, was tortured over there, and returned brain dead, basically, and died 2 days later, watching his parents just retching in pain and emotion. And Trump basically saying, "We won't forget you," And I think the message is very clear to people. You know, and we are in this hiatus because of these, you know, the Pyeongchang Winter Olympics. But I think after that, I think it's very clear that he means business, that the window right now for Kim Jong-un to disarm is about a five-week window right now. And I'm not sure that, you know, that they're going to make any progress with that at all. And, you know, all bets are off when they clear out of Seoul after the Olympics.
You're right about that, John. Track John's work and his blogs at onlinecolumnist.com. U.S. stocks closed sharply lower, falling for a second day as the first major sell-off of the new year intensified. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 362 points to finish at 26,076. Let's check in with registered investment advisor Mish Shedlock. Will, is it just starting to crumble or not, Mish? What do you think?
I think so, George. I that's my take. You know, I'm assuming you agree, maybe not, but we don't know. We really don't know. Trump gave a pretty good speech here. Perhaps people start feeling good. There's a lot of things here in play. The stock market is the most overvalued since it's ever been, actually. 2007 comes to mind, 2000 comes to mind, the dot-com bubble, 1929 comes to mind. That's what we're talking about here. A decline of 50%, even 70% here, George, is not out of the question. I don't think we get a crash, but this might play out over 7, 8, 5 years or so. And then I'm wondering here, George, I watched the speech. I hope you did.
I did, of course.
Trump proposing $1.5 trillion for infrastructure spending. George, where is the money coming from? He didn't say. He just says he wants Congress to take part of it, and he wants the states to take part of it. Well, states have to run balanced budgets. So whatever burden falls on the states, they're going to have to be hiking taxes. So they're hiking taxes. The Fed is hiking interest rates. The dollar is declining because of all of this spending. It is a bad mix, George.
We shall see, Mish. Thank you so much. Mish's website, of course, linked up at coasttocoastam.com's Twitter feed. Hearing voices may not be a sign of mental illness as much as it's a clue that a person's brain is simply well-tuned to many sounds. A new study finds that healthy people who hear voices have differently wired brains that find speech patterns in other sounds. Isn't that interesting? Not since Andrew Johnson was president. The second dome on the U.S. Capitol was completed, and Jesse James completed his first robbery. Will the skies experience an event like this? Tomorrow, a total lunar eclipse will occur with a blue moon known as a super blue blood moon. It's going to be amazing if you have an opportunity to see it. Earthquake predictions, EMPs, and so many others. Stan Dale next with us on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Last week, Stan Dale was with me. We were talking about earthquakes in our news segment, and Stan was predicting a 7-plus would occur within the month. And, of course, the month only had a week or two left. That night, while I was still on the air, Alaska, in the Gulf of Alaska, got hit with a huge 7.9. Amazing. Well, Stan is a research physicist, author, has worked undercover for the FBI, as well as held a top secret security clearance. Stan took part in an exclusive black project which specializes in flying saucer technology, and he was a working expertise in earth changes and climate concerns, and sees our major earth changes continuing. His wife, Holly, of course, written a book called Dare to Prepare, and her new one is called Prophetic Perils. Stan, what a night that was, wasn't it?
It was. Good talking to you again, my friend. It's been a while.
What did you see? I mean, you predicted a 7-plus that you said would hit by the end of the month, and that night, bang, out in Alaska, they got hit with a big one.
That's true. I was saying in the next 3 to 5 days, which was the end of the month, as you said, what I was going on was statistical averages. I've been putting together charts and graphs over the last 18 years, and in some cases even longer, to see when earthquakes occur most prominently every month and every day. And I have several graphs up on my website, and Lexis put it up on the coast page there. If you look at your home page, you'll see the first half, Stan Deal, blah, blah, blah. Then you see related show images. Mm-hmm. If you click on that, you can follow along with what I'm saying here. Especially go to slide 63, which is kind of what I'm talking about, how I was able to pick that. Now, it was January, you know, January the 29th. We were about 2 or 3 days ahead of that. And I was following the graph. You can see the red bars telling how many earthquakes in the last, 18 years have occurred on a certain day of the month. And the shorter-term one, instead of this 18-year one, the 10-year one, showed a very perfect graph that indicated that toward the last week of January we would have some large Richter 7 earthquakes. And you can see from this graph on slide 63 that the January trend for earthquakes that are 7 or more is diminishing toward the end of the month. Now, we're coming into February now, and you're going to see that statistically we're going to see more 7 earthquakes, 7-plus earthquakes, around 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th of February. So you can go look at this thing. I'll keep it up on the website.
Okay.
And people can look at it later to refer to this. But I've done every month trying to find out if these things have some kind of a cause, what's making it happen that way. And if you look down at the bottom of that graph, you can see what I looked at in summary to tell you that, that in the end of January, you see a peak of earthquakes. There were 30 of them in January. Then it drops off, and then in April it picks up again, and there were about 5 major peaks. I originally thought that perhaps this was due to solar positions with the Earth and the Moon, and it may still be. But I did notice that it also related to the solstices, the winter and summer solstices. So even though they don't directly correlate as far as I can tell, I am convinced that there are connections to the gravity of the sun and the moon and the earth altogether that cause these earthquakes or cause them to trigger. But we're seeing strange things happening. If you go back to slide, go back to the page that has slide 63 on it, but go to image 62. It's a graph of the 7-plus earthquakes from 1981 to 2017. And I found something interesting here. You'll see a blue line that shows a 38% increase since 1981. You can see the dotted line, a 38% increase in Richter 7-plus earthquakes over that period of time. Then all of a sudden, last year, it dropped down to only 7 earthquakes instead of like 20 to 24. They dropped off, which meant that the pressure wasn't releasing, that we can expect a sudden big release sometime in the future, perhaps in the next year or two, or even this year. If you look at that graph, you'll see the green line drops down, as does the red line. The red line is the actual plot of the number of Richter 7s we had each year. As you can see down at the bottom of the graph what year they occurred in. So the dotted line shows the linear trend. The green line shows what the computer thinks is going to happen next year as well. This year it's going to trend down. Now go back to that show images page and look at image 61. Now image 61 shows Richter 5 and above earthquakes, and it doesn't follow the same pattern as Richter 7s, but it shows that the Richter 5s should be increasing, 5 and above should be increasing in the next 3 years. You can see by the green line as it moves upward at the end of the graph. So it's a contradiction of data here.
Why does it seem, Stan, that they seem to be getting bigger and bigger every year?
Well, now that's a good question. I think that the Earth is undergoing its own changes as far as climate and as far as the diameter of the planet. I think there have been fluctuations in the diameter of Earth due to causes that we can only guess at the moment, but we know that it's been a progression over the last, 30 years or so. What has been changing over that period of time? The sun? The sun has been, dropping its irradiance, its light output. In fact, there's a sun climate symposium being held in, I think it's March this year, to discuss what is happening with the sun. And this is being held by the USGS and by the Solar Radiation Climate Group, which includes a lot of guys that are scientists in this area. And when you look at it, in fact, I've got that on slide 60. You can link to that discussion on the conference. They are concerned about the sun and the change in the light output coming from it. Some of the light is new, like in new frequencies of ultraviolet and stuff like that. So the sun is unusually low activity at this low period of its 24th cycle. And this has something to do, I think, with the triggering of the quakes on the planet. You know, why are we cooling, you know, and the planet is starting to shrink a bit? I don't know. We're still trying to correlate that data.
But you're not a psychic, but your predictions are sometimes even better than what a psychic would come up with.
Well, by the grace of God, I guess I'm accurate in my guesses, but that's all it is, certainly educated guesses. I just got something before we went on air. I put it up there, slide 65. Have you ever heard of Dutch Sense? Have you had him on the show?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Dutch did a video last night of what he thinks is happening on the West Coast after that 7.9 earthquake we're talking about in Alaska. And it is spooky. He shows new GOES satellite videos, time-lapse videos of the West Coast, particularly California and Arizona. And you can see it on the videos he's showing. There are plumes of smoke that appear and then disappear. They can't be fires. And they look like all of them come from volcanic fields on the West Coast and in Arizona. These things are releasing steam and then shutting off. It's not like smoke. It's steam. So he's saying, from the data he's got on this video, that he thinks that the whole West Coast is being pushed up and that there's compression all along there that may result in some big earthquakes. This may be the big one coming. I don't know.
Oh, boy, just what we need, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, George, if you look at the Richter 7s dropping like they are last year, I mean, a horrific drop in the amount of pressure release, and you see his report here and the video from the satellite showing all these steam releases in the space of a day, there's something going on.
There sure is. You have taken a look at some of the things going on in the Middle East. You know, beyond just predicting earthquakes, you also look at world events. What's happening over there, Stan?
Well, you know, that's a very involved question. The answer is even more involved. But you can see that the Arab nations, under the leadership of Saudi Arabia, with the exception of Iran and Lebanon, of course, but these Arab nations, there are about 41 of them, have joined together into a joint military alliance to allegedly fight terrorism, you know, like ISIS and that kind of stuff. But when you look at the amount of firepower they've put into that, looking at one of the images I've got there in that thing, it would be image 55, and there's an article, if you click on the thing below that, it shows you the major players of these 41 Arab nations that have formed this coalition. They've already had war games, you know, mixing their military together. And under Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia.
King-to-be, I guess.
Oh, hey, this guy, yeah, king-to-be. He could even be a world leader, you know, the world leader, if the way he's going. But he's coupled together a nuclear nation in there, you know, with Pakistan having the bomb. 44,000 armored vehicles, 4 million combat soldiers, 5 million reserves, 2,500 jet fighters, 21,000 tanks, and 461 assault helicopters.
And has sequestered most of the billionaires in Saudi Arabia for ransom money.
Yes. So he's a fast mover. He's climbed the rung real quick, even though he's a bit careless and young and inexperienced. He made some mistakes in Yemen with these military operations, but he's learning. And now this young fella is going to build, he's already started building NEOM, N-E-O-M, his new super city over at the junction of the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden, Gulf of Aqaba. And that area where he's going to build this super city is right over the top of where Moses led the people of Israel to the Mount Sinai there, which is in southwest Saudi Arabia. And he's going to incorporate all that into his new city. Now, it's just, I mean, this guy, his country has been at war or at odds with Israel for about 2,500 to 3,000 years. All of a sudden, when he gets the reins of power, which his father handed over to him but not making him king yet, when he's gotten power, he's now said to Israel, oh, let's be friends.
Hold on for a second, Stan. Let's talk more about that. I want to get your take on the Antichrist and so much more. Stan Deo, our guest on Coast to Coast AM. Oh, we've got some live events for you, many coming up. Let me give you the information. First of all, everything's at our events list at coasttocoastam.com. You'll find it right at the top of the homepage there. Just click events, and you'll see them all, and they'll take you right to the websites for you to get tickets. But Salt Lake City on March 10th, looking forward to that. Really looking forward to that. That's a great theater. It's called the Janae Wagner Theater, and again, full information at coasttocoastam.com. On April 21st, Scottsdale, Arizona, our live stage show there with great guests. And then we've added Las Vegas to the mix. That's right, June 9th, in partnership with our affiliate there, KXNT, we are going to have a live event at the Silverton Casino. Come on out and spend some time in Vegas. Have a vacation. Come on out. All information at our events section at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Stan Deo. Stan, we were talking about the Middle East. Do you see some kind of war breaking out there between Saudi Arabia and Iran or something like that?
I do, George. As you kind of indicated before we went to break, I think that Mohammed bin Salman is a really high probability candidate for the Antichrist that the Bible speaks of in the Middle East. He fits so many of the biblical predictions and even Nostradamus predictions for the Antichrist that it's just hard to imagine anyone else being the guy. In fact, if you look on that show images page at slide 13 later, don't do it now, we haven't got time, but look at there and you'll see I've compared the major leaders in the Middle East and for the traits of the Antichrist, and you'll see that Mohammed bin Salman has enhanced them. Now, back on the image 57, 52, 53, 54 on my site there, Mohammed bin Salman is doing something really weird as far as forming a global government, I think. And, you know, you can see in slide 57 that his father, King Salman, and President Trump and al-Sisi of Egypt were all putting their hands on a round, lighted globe of the world. And if you click on the picture of that, and enlarge it, you'll see. I found, with the help of one of your listeners that emailed me about it, that the picture of Jesus that Mohammed bin Salman just bought for what it was, $450 million or whatever, has a crystal ball in the hand of the Messiah. And then in the advertising promo for Mohammed bin Salman's new super city, Neo, they have the glass globe in this lady's hand as part of the promo.
Almost the same looking one as in the photograph with Jesus.
Yeah. Now, why is he doing that? Why are he and his father making these global type things? And if you look at the image in 52, the symbol that they first chose for the 41 Arab nations, it's got a ring north-south around the planet and east-west, you know, the equatorial circle, as though it circled the whole planet. Now, that's the symbol they used up until just probably a few weeks ago when they changed over to the new one in 54, slide 54, which doesn't look so obviously like they're coming after the whole world. But this guy, Mohammed bin Salman, has formed this military alliance. He's making an alleged peace deal with Israel. Everybody's saying, oh, that's nice. We're going to have peace between Israel and Saudi Arabia and the Arab nations. And, you know, President Trump is moving that way. But we know that Mohammed bin Salman and his consortium are all against Iran. They want to destroy Iran because they are Shiite Muslims rather than Sunnis like the Arab nations in the Mohammed bin Salman group. Now, they will have to move their forces up toward Syria and Iran. And in doing so, they're going to be so close to Israel that all he has to do, Mohammed bin Salman, is take a left turn and go about 10 miles, and he's into northern Israel with his troops.
Yeah.
Now, I suspect this guy is a liar. I suspect that he is going to, try to trick Israel, and that we will see one of the two major wars that prophecy says will happen, you know, in the Middle East between Israel and the Arab nations.
So you don't trust the guy?
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. There's so much I've put in that slide 13 about Mohammed bin Salman. you just won't believe it. I mean, look, even Nostradamus, and I don't treat him as a reliable source all the time, but he said the third Antichrist would be named Mabus, M-A-B-U-S. And in the court and in the newspapers, who do they call young Prince Mohammed bin Salman? M-B-S. And he has formed an Arabic union, M-A-B-U-S. Now, it's just freaky.
It is strange. We have talked a lot, Stan, on this program about protecting our power grid against a solar flare from the sun or an EMP attack from a rogue nation that detonates a nuke high atop our country. You've been taking a look at this, too.
I have. I have a partner in my research here in the system we're trying to make where we get electromagnetic or electrostatic waves in the atmosphere and we convert them to electricity. These come from the sun. Well, in the process, we had to make a device to protect our aerial outside here in the research place. And it had to be able to take nearby lightning strikes and shunt them away from our antenna system into the ground. Well, Tim, Cardi, my partner, and I were talking about it, and he says, look, I'll design one of those, and while I'm at it, I'm going to design one that'll withstand an EMP attack. So that was back in October, and he kicked around there in the lab and put it together, and we talked about designs and whatever, and he found some new components that are on the market just now so he could make a device that operates in 500 trillionths of a second to detect an EMP voltage rise on your house or on the power grid and take all that voltage and throw it into the ground. Now, we already filed the patents on it. We had to get a company to underwrite us because we had to get a factory and 6,000 square foot factory and a bunch of staff. But we made the device and we're now starting to release it to people. You can just hook it up to two or three wires to your power box in your house, your breaker box, and Bob's your uncle. Whenever the EMP strikes, it will not kill your electronics inside the house that are connected to the wiring in your house. And it works for most houses under 10,000 square foot area. And it'll work for boats. It'll work for, here's an important thing. For people that have got, like, solar power, auxiliary power and diesel generators, gasoline generators, wind power, those things will all be zapped in an EMP pulse. They won't have the alternative power unless they have a way to protect it. And these devices will do that. You drive a ground stake in there near where the thing connects to the house, and you put one of these little devices on it, and they sell for under $300, if you've got your discount code and stuff. And these things will protect as many houses as we can very shortly. We're trying to be able to put out 10,000 of them a week to try to get as many people to save their power supplies, because those people will be the rebuilders of their neighborhood until the grid comes back up. They'll be sharing power with neighbors and stuff. So we've slowed up our free energy or alternate energy thing to get this out because so many people want it. I mean, tens of thousands of people want it. And this is our help, to help against that crazy little guy over in North Korea.
Or somebody, or the sun does it.
Yeah, the sun is a lot easier, for you to shield with this device. The nuclear ones, there's no one that can make one that works as good as ours. We're infinitely better than the military one. We had the military Department of Defense lab at Keystone in Pennsylvania test our units, and they cannot get them to fail no matter how many EMPs hit them.
You're like the modern day Tesla.
Well, a lot of that credit for that goes to Tim, but between us, yeah, we are like a Tesla team. And when you hear, I'm going to tell you something that I just got from my intelligence yesterday, intelligence sources. This may be disinformation to pass on to the enemy to make them afraid, or it may be the truth, but the United States will be at war by the 1st of March, if my source is correct.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
With whom?
North Korea.
Hmm.
And if they go to North Korea, you can expect Russia and China to chime in.
Yeah, I'm afraid of that.
Well, look, as I say, take it with a grain of salt. My source has not been wrong yet, but this could be something passed down to him to pass to us, to tell the enemy we're coming, to maybe make him come to the table to negotiate, peacefully.
Why can't they just get a regime change?
They're working on it. The fact that the rocket man killed...
He's killing everybody.
Yeah. Doesn't pay to work for that guy, does it?
You have talked about some new discoveries in the Garden of Eden, which is near Iraq in the Euphrates, right?
Sorry, repeat that again.
You've talked about some new discoveries with the Garden of Eden.
Oh,
Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, you know, gosh, back in 2014, I actually proved the location of the original Garden of Eden to be in Tanzania inside the Ngorongoro crater, and did a whole lecture on it and, you know, made a lot of videotapes that people have checked out, and thousands of people have looked at it. And the other day, I went back to look at new satellite images of the Ngorongoro crater, which was the Garden of Eden, and I found what I think was the location of the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. There's one area inside that whole, you know, about 100 square mile crater floor. There's one area that's raised up about 100 feet, and you can pretty well see it from any place on the floor there, unless there's trees in your way. It's a round, raised area, and if you look at slides 49, 50, and 51, you'll see that I come in from the satellite view showing where the trees are, or possible trees are, in the garden. And then slide 50, where we get in a little bit closer, looking where tree 1 and tree 2 would have been. And if you click on slide 3, that's where we get down and do a contour of that kind of round raised area there. And you can see where water streamed down from there and where there are two high points on it only on this mound. And those are where probably the two trees were that God planted in there and said to Adam and Eve, see those trees? And you can see it from, as I say, most corners of the garden. You see that tree? Don't go and eat of that fruit. It's, you know, off limits. Now, I might be wrong, but this is something that people have been asking me. Okay, you found the Garden of Eden. What about the tree of knowledge and tree of life and that kind of stuff? That is probably where they would have been located because it's near the water sources falling down from the highlands of the Ngorongoro Plateau. You can see that when you go onto the website. There's more discussions of it down on that show images page. Let me just see real quickly. They're down toward the bottom underneath the EMP shield stuff.
And you really see EMPs as a major issue, don't you?
I do. You know, look, we're doing this show, and we're going to reach a lot of people, and I hope we're going to help a lot of people. Because it's your show, you know, if they say put in a code, you know, first 1,000 people or something like that, say first 1,000, I think I've got it listed on there, we'll give them $50 off of a $329 price or a $379 price, depending on how big they get. We will help that much. We can't help much more than that, but we've made it so people can afford it. And if you, let's see, go down to slide 40, 41, 42, you'll see about our company and our shopping cart. But the most important thing for people to do is to go to slide 42, which goes to our EMP Shield website. And it is going to help a lot of people, certainly helped Tim and I and our company people, to understand more about what an EMP does, what it will destroy, and what it won't destroy.
Well, and what's interesting, too, Stan, is before you came on tonight, I had a story that a researcher says that Russia and China have capabilities of taking out our satellite systems. I'm sure we have the same thing, but that's dangerous.
Look at North Korea. He's got two satellites that pass over the United States several times, you know, I think twice a day.
And what are they doing?
Yeah, what have they got on board?
Yeah.
You know, and there's just very little time left. I think we're getting so close to this March prediction that, anyway, go to our, that slide, what was it, 53, I think it was 52. Go to our EMP website and click on the resources page. Because it is a wealth of information that will relieve people's fears to a degree, and it will also help them understand how to prevent this EMP pulse from totally frying their electronics and their home and their power. For instance, there's a myth about, you know, all the cars that were made after 1976 or something, EMP will destroy them, right? Not so. There's government reports in here that we've listed the links to which say 85% of all the cars on the road will probably survive an EMP. The worst that would happen is that it would stop running when the EMP hits it. You turn the key and start it up again and drive off.
Right. The only problem is you might not be able to get gasoline.
That's it. You're absolutely right. That's the big problem. So you either store gasoline or diesel or whatever, or use a Tesla car and have a charge bank that you can charge up with solar panels or something, which you got to protect. And we have customers doing that.
When Holly wrote the book Prophetic Perils, yeah, she believes we're close to end times, doesn't she?
Absolutely, and so do I. That book, it tells you, in fact, if you get that Prophetic Perils, it talks about the two wars in the Middle East you were asking about earlier. And she lists the countries in biblical and in modern terms, their names, and says, look, okay, here are the countries, here are the movements, and which one will come first, which one will come second. And this deal with Iran and with Syria and Russia and the Arab Consortium all play into that. It is an incredible book with maps and stuff on that and a lot of other stuff of prophecy things that are happening right now. People need to know this to know how to deal with it and protect their families and whether to move from their current location or not and all kinds of stuff.
Well, we've been talking about it. Why is there so much hate on this planet, Stan?
I don't know, but it is legendary at the moment. I mean, it's
growing. It really is growing it like crazy. You also talk about the sun is cooling down, is it?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think it's going to cool down, and then it's going to do something rather surprising. I think it's going to do a phase state change a lot sooner than a billion years from now, like the standard clock says. I think we're going to see it cool down. Then there will be kind of like a sudden darkening of the sun as a dust cloud is projected off the surface. And it'll go into the beginning stages of what will be a red giant eventually, 1,000, 2,000 years from now. But it will throw off this dust cloud, and then it will get hot. In fact, if we follow biblical prophecy, one side of the planet's going to be facing that when it happens.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's going about one-third of the surface of the Earth will get hit at that moment.
Let's hope it's not our side, but you never know.
Well, let's hope we have a side to get hit. With the way things are going, we're not going to have a country anymore.
Stan, we're going to take a break and come back and take phone calls with you next about some of the things you've been working on. Stan Dale, some of his DVD is called UFOs Are Here. His books, Dare to Prepare, The Cosmic Conspiracy, they're Holly's books. His wife and Prophetic Perils, which is her latest work as well, where she believes we're in the end times. But there's a way out for us, Stan, isn't there?
Sure there is. There is good news. And the good Lord made that available to us so that we wouldn't panic and, you know, be downcast in these times. But it's exciting to see that we have the option to be saved from this, chaos that's coming and to reappear on the other side in that thousand-year reign of peace on the planet.
All right, we're coming back for phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM.